talking about some of the details of what we were talking about, regular vestas. We spoke a little bit about what regular vestas are, and then we spoke about the unavailingness that's reserved for the woman who doesn't have the regular vestas. The first thing, different opinions, what exactly the unavailingness is. Then we talked a little bit about women who have vestas that are being created and being monitored by medication, or the old days by some herbal remedies. And now we deal with a woman who doesn't have a vestas at all. She doesn't have a vestas, and she's going to be choshesh for unavailingness. The question is there anything more serious that she has to be concerned with? She doesn't have a vestas altogether. So the Gemara quotes a machlekes atanoim about a very, very startling machlekes atanoim on page 33, the top of 33. By number 4, Matana Rabbanon, page 33, the very top of the page, number 4, Matana Rabbanon, Isha She'en Levesas, Asur L'Shamish. If a woman doesn't have a Vesas, how are you possibly going to be together with her? You never know, she may bleed at any given time, so therefore, you would have to get divorced. Again, that statement can only be understood in light of the fact that in the days of Chazal, it was very normal to have Vesas, so if a woman doesn't have a Vesas, it's an aberration, she doesn't have a Vesas. As a matter of fact, that would be pretty hard to put that into a practice, but we don't pass it like this Tana anyway. And then the Braisa goes on to say that this is the view of Rabbi Meir, but the second line, Rabbi Chanina ben Antignus Omer, Vishemeshas Vishne Eidim Heim Yusuhein Tignua. Rabbi Chanina ben Antignus disagrees, and he says, no, you don't have to get divorced, you have to be very, very careful, you have to always do bedikas, Eidim in with aid, because is always a nice way of saying a bedika, so she has to always do bedikas all the time, just to make sure that she, in fact, is not, didn't start to bleed right before you're having tashmish. So we pass like Rabbi Chanina. Okay, we can breathe a sigh of relief and pass like Rabbi Chanina. We don't pass like Rabbi Meir that you have to mamash get divorced, but we still follow Rabbi Chanina. So it doesn't bode well for us. We follow Rabbi Chanina. What that sounds like it means is that you have to do bedikas all the time. If a woman who doesn't have a vestas kavur, which is basically 99% of the women today, so you would have to do bedikas before every tashmish, which nobody, most people don't do that. So what is that? What is this based on? So Gemara continues and says that this halacha is only limited to a woman who's a sukkah b'tahara. So we spoke about this in the past. And the days, the Beis Hamikdash, the day when they used to observe the dinner of b'tahara properly, so it was incumbent upon a woman to do multiple b'dikas. Nothing to do with being married, nothing to do with her husband. She had to do b'dikas every day to make sure that she was still tahara for the purpose of tahara. So the Gemara says that the Chazal instituted that a woman who was involved in Tara should do bedikas every morning, should do bedikas every night, just to make, she should not be married, just to make sure that she's still Tahora, that she's still able to touch the Taras. So the Gemara explains to us that Rabbi Chanina ben Antignus' statement was said in the context of Taras. If it was said in the context of Taras, when we're talking about a husband, we have to do with Taras. The Gemara explains that the Bizman HaMikdosh, when they used to be, everyone used to be so mocked by the Taras, and there were so many Chumras and so many Hidurim, people have to make sure that they were tahor. So a woman anyway was doing 2 bedikas a day. Every day, from the day she was 12 years old, she's been doing 2 bedikas a day. So Rabbi Chanina ben Antignus said that if she's doing bedikas with taharas anyway, so then once she gets married, and Maisa, she doesn't have a vesas, so it is a little bit tricky for her to be with her husband. So just as you require bedikas with taharas, they threw in an extra bedikah every day for whenever the couple's together, they threw in an extra bedikah as well. So close by that she's a sukkah with taharas, they made that chumrah, they added, extended that chumrah, labayla. Because Mana Zeli Gemara explains that we don't have taharas anyway. So who does bedikas? The only time you do bedikas is b'shas vesas, or bedikas have sitar, shabikim. It's not a regular routine to do bedikas. So then they said, well, men haTorah, you don't need bedikas anyway before you're with your husband, even though you're isha shem vesas, it's still unlikely you're going to start to bleed right then and there. It's only a chumah midrabanan to insist on bedikas. That chumah midrabanan was never instituted because Mana Zeli. Hey, we want to make this, we'll go back to taharas, and we'll add a few extra bedikas for women. But because Mana Zeli, there's no need to do it. That's how we pass, that's how Ruba the Ruba the Rishon Paskin, that the whole statement of Rabbi Chanina ben Antignus requiring bedikas, which was really a kula, the man was mumbach, but he said you have to get divorced. Rabbi Chanina was makel, that you can suffice for just doing bedikas, that requirement with the Rabban of doing bedikas was only instituted bizman, and mikdash wasn't instituted bizman azeh. That's pretty much how it plays out for us. So when all the dust settles bizman azeh, most of us follow that view, that's Rashi's view, other Rishon's view, that the bedikas bizman azeh, labayla don't exist. The only bedikas labayla that exist are Rishas of Esas Mamish, which we spoke about, or Hesek Taro, or Shibinikiyim. Those are the only bedikas that we have left. But this whole sugi of Dita Dafyin Beis is not relevant for us, Bismah Hazeh. Nevertheless, there is a riff. Where the Rif has a cryptic statement. If you take a look at the fifth of the Ramakamos, where the Rif says, he quotes the Braisa, the fifth of the Ramakamos on page 33, the Rif says that, B'chirim ben Tignis Omer, four lines into the Rif, B'chirim ben Tignis Omer, B'shameshes B'shne Edim, she should have Tashvish with two Edim, maybe one before Tashvish, one after Tashvish, V'heinen Yisua V'tikunel, that those are the Edim that either will show blood, that'll mess her up, or that's going to help her. What does that mean? Shem Tishavish Pam Rishonu Shni Ushlishes V'edim, the Yimtza Daval Eid Shiloh, Shiloh B'chol Pam B'bam, Harein Yivsua, Shem Tishavish Pam Rishonu Shni Ushlishes V'edim, the Yimtza Daval Eid Shiloh, Shiloh B'chol Pam B'bam. So the Rif sticks into where the words of Rebbe Chanina, that she should do B'dikas to make sure she's not bleeding. How many times she should do the bedikas? She should do it the first couple of times. One time, two times, three times. And then she'll figure out what's the status if she does it one, two, and three times. So if it turns out that every time she does bedikas, she finds blood, it shows that she's a woman who can't be together with her husband. The Rif is describing bedikas after Tashmish, not before Tashmish. He says, she'im tishamish, she's going to have Tashmish, and then she's going to bleed right afterwards. So that's going to indicate she's a raw dam machos Tashmish, and she can't be with her husband. That's what the bedikas of Rabbi Chanina are all about. So that's a totally different kind of a bedika. We thought Rabbi Chanina was talking about doing bedikas beforehand to make sure she's okay. The Rif is describing her doing bedikas afterwards to make sure nothing happened. And the Rif quotes this lahalacha, and he doesn't limit it to Shas Taras. He doesn't say this is only true b'zman shavis mikdash shirakayim. You know, the Rambam quotes all halachas, those that are relevant, those that are not relevant. The Rif only quotes those things that are relevant l'maisa. And the Rif quotes this, Rif is sitting in Morocco, in 1000, saying halacha l'maisa, that she checks three times, and after three times, then she has to either get divorced or remain married to her husband. So many, many folks, including the Shulchan Aruch, understood what the Rif is saying. Is a whole other ballgame here. What the Rif is saying is that when you have a woman who's ein lo veses, it's very, very tricky. We don't know why she's, when, why, what's controlling her cycle. Nothing really seems to be totally haphazard. So therefore, the Rif is learning that Chazal instituted a woman who's ein lo veses, you have to be certain that she's not a type of woman who is sometimes caused to bleed by Tashmish itself. Sometimes you have such a person who bleeds because of Tashmish. 99% of the time, women bleed because of Tashmish. It's usually a mafla. Usually send them to a doctor. You take a look inside, you see there's nothing serious going on, just a mafla or something. But in theory, Chazal described a woman who, after Tashmish itself, could somehow be causing her to bleed. So the Rif says that you have to make sure you're not one of those women. If you're a woman who has a VSS, we know what her cycle is. We know she bleeds for every 28 days. But a woman who doesn't have a VSS, so we have to always be concerned. Shema, she's the kind of a woman who's going to be brought down with a machas tashmish. And therefore, we require her to check three times just to make sure that this is not happening. If she passes the test and gets three clean bedikas three times in a row, then great. Then you don't have to worry about this anymore. So that's what the Shulchan Aruch quotes, that if you take a look at the Shulchan Aruch in the sixth of the Ma'amar Kamos, Sif Beis, in Ein Lo Veses Kavua, which is 99% of women today, Ein Lo Veses Kavua, Shlosh Pa'am HaRishon, the first three times she's with her husband, Tzrichin Livdo Kodem Tashmish V'Yachad Tashmish. You have to check a little bit before, but more important, you have to check afterwards. Hu Be'Eid Shaloh, V'Hi Be'Eid Shaloh. He has to check himself after Tashmish, she has to check herself after Tashmish, if she's proved after these three times that she is in fact not a woman who's ruah adam achas tashmish, then shuvin et shichah b'dikah klal, then she doesn't need any more b'dikah. That's the Shulchan Aruch quotes, which is based on his understanding of the Shita Sarif. So there are many, many poskim who follow this understanding, and there are poskim aliyah mazeh who insist on this, who say that when a woman gets married, so she has to clear the air first. She has to make sure she doesn't fall into this category of a woman who's raw dam with tashmish. Since she doesn't have a ves kavua, highly unlikely a ves kavua. So Shulchan Aruch quotes that she should, the first three times of tashmish, him and her should check after tashmish, just to make sure she's okay. Make sure nothing's going on. And that's what Rabbi Chanina ben Antigonus was talking about. Those are the shnei eidim Rabbi Chanina ben Antigonus.
Why would that be limited to a woman that doesn't have a ves?
Because the whole concern is that maybe she's the kind of woman who tashmish is triggering.
But if this was the first three times they're married, then you wouldn't know that.
No. We know this from before. But she's already, each Hashem Levesses means she already has a Vesses calendar from months already. She already knows that she's all over the place. If she knows she has a Vesses Kavu, then it's not like the
other. So why would they be doing the Bedikah before before
the tashmish. Yeah, so the bedikah before is almost like an added chumrah, like just to make sure she hasn't started to bleed beforehand.
You know, the
real,
the
real, there's almost like a dual goal here. There's goal number one to make sure she's mukaris b'shas ma'isa. There's goal, the goal number two to make sure nothing's happened afterwards. So just, nobody should get nervous in case you never heard of these three bedikas, in case you don't think that your wife did these three bedikas. Other Rishonim disagree with this. Other Rishonim say that maybe we didn't even pasket like this riff, and that we're not even sure that's what the riff said. So the Shach has a long, long piece, the bottom of page 33, and it goes on to page 34, and it keeps on going. A long, 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 long Shach, but the Shach disagrees with this whole thing. Shach says we don't even pasket like this riff, and he doesn't think that's what the riff meant. He said he thinks the riff meant that if you want to, it's a complicated pshat in the rip, if you want to make sure that you don't have to pay the ksubot, she's a rodah machas tashbish, she's the bedikas, it's for dini momentous purpose, it's not this. The whole longer Megillah, the Shach tells you, I mean, a real, real long piece to explain to you why lemaisa doesn't apply. And then at the very, very end, the Shach writes, how do we pass? And do we follow what the Shulchan Aruch said? Do we follow what we thought the Rif said? That every couple that gets married, Mamish has to do these bedikas. So if you take a look at the last line of the Shach, it's on page 34, the very, very last line, that he quotes a group of poskim who say that you don't have to do these bedikas. And then the last four words of the Chemeduma, Shekein Omadavar. Kein Omadavar is a phrase the Gemara says, when you don't know what the din is, you look what the Olam is doing. Davar means outside, the chutz. Omadavar, go look what the Olam is doing. People know it like this or not. So the Shach says, Kimeduma. He throws the word Kimeduma, means it's hard to know. It's not like a Chashab. It's a Chashab, as I can tell you. Nobody's being machmir for them. I see. I walk into the kitchen, nobody. No chasnida. You know what's going on. How do you know what the minig oil is? It's very hard to be convinced what the minig oil was in a chasnida. So he says, Kimeduma, it appears to him. He was a rav. He was a rav down. He understood. He spoke to God. He had the sense, Shekena Medvai, that the oil wasn't knowing like this. So now you have two different practices, Bizman Hazet. So there are those who still insist Ana Yamazet following the Shulchan Aruch and the old style Shikas Arif, and they tell every couple, the Kalatites who tell every couple they get married, that the girl should do three bedikas, and the first three tashmishes to two bedikas. Now those first three bedikas should be done after Dam Basulim clears two bedikas. When you're having Dam Basulim, that's ridiculous. So after she's clean of all issues, all remnants of Dam Basulim, the first three tashmishes should be done, these two bedikas, just to make sure she's an Eina Rod Damach Tashmish, and then forget about it for the rest of your lives. And there are other Kal teachers, other Rabbanim, who say, Chemeduma Shekein Omadvar, that the minig is like the Shach, that there's no need to do any of these kinds of bedikas. So, yesh, yesh, different opinions about this. But Moshe was making like this, there are many Rabbanim today who make like this, the concern that I have is to be making like this, I don't tell couples to do this. I tell them that, I don't tell them this altogether, they happen to know, if you happen to learn the Chasnida, so I tell them that the minig is like the Shach. But, and a lot of the Chasnida books that are out today, a lot of English books, a lot of the Kitza books, so this other approach is quoted from the Shulchan Aruch, from the Rambam, that there is such an idea. So again, those who have it, those who don't have it, but it's all based on that riff. There is one last case, I don't think we spoke about the issue of pregnant women and nursing women yet, I don't think we mentioned that. We have a woman who doesn't have a vessel, but she has a vessel, because she's not really supposed to be bleeding right now. That's what's called the issue of Mesulekes Damim. So those are sugars in the beginning of Masechet Nida. A lot of the sugars of Mesulekes Damim are not even discussed in terms of Hilchos Vesnes, they're discussed in terms of Hilchos Dayan Shaitan. We mentioned that there's a Din Midrabanan, and when a woman gets a period, some Midrabanan, we say she's Tamei 24 hours retroactively, vis-a-vis Kutchim, vis-a-vis Bailah, it doesn't make a difference either, she was with her husband, but vis-a-vis any carbon that she touched in the last 24 hours, so we declare that it's problematic. So the Mishnah has a whole discussion about whether that Takonis Acham of it's called Tumas Be'ez Li'ez, when that applies and when it doesn't apply. So there's certain women who it doesn't apply. The woman's pregnant, so then it's so unlikely that she saw blood. Or the woman's nursing, so unlikely that she saw blood. So that may change some of the din of a dying child a little bit. So vis-a-vis Hilchos Vestas, the din is also true, that in theory, a woman who was pregnant, a woman who's nursing, who's Mesulekes Damim, she's not supposed to bleed now anyway. So even if she gets a cork and she starts to bleed, so we assume that the regular dinim of a Vestas wouldn't apply. So the question is, how does that play out Lamaisa for us? So in terms of pregnancy, so the Mishnah tells us that a woman is only considered to be Mesulekes Damim after the first couple of months, if she's not yet established that she's pregnant. We establish that you're pregnant after 3 months. It's called the Hukah Ubra. So the only time that we put all the Vestas on hold is after 3 months. The first 3 months of pregnancy, so you have to follow the regular rules of Vestas. So let's say before she was pregnant, she had a Vestas to see on the 28 days of the month. So she had the Vestas to see every 33 days, whatever Vestas was. So then she has to observe Uchus Vestas for the first 3 months. After 3 months, then she gets the freebie of Mushal Lechas B'damim. Oh, that's the post-memorial discussion. Does that apply to Bezman Hazeh? So Rabbi Kivager assumes that applies even Bezman Hazeh, even though the reality is that we know that most women today, once they become pregnant, they do not bleed anymore. So Kivager writes, that still applies to Bezman Hazeh. Rabbi Moshe questions whether that's really true. Maybe Bezman Hazeh, we know for a fact, the woman's pregnant. We know that 95% of the time women are not bleeding when they're pregnant, even though sometimes women at the beginning of pregnancy do bleed a little bit for other reasons. So Rabbi Moshe writes that the Ikamikra did, really once she knows that she's pregnant, all the Vestas just get put on hold. And then he backs out, and she writes, "Alfal bichayru kivayim was machmer." We're not sure. Oh, we're going to see in a second. So Moshe writes that he thinks the ikra din is that once a woman is established that she's pregnant, so he thinks that the ikra din is that really hilchos vestas don't apply. But Alfal bichayru, he writes that the Gemara does. Gemara talks about 3 months. The Shulchan talks about 3 months. So we're hard for just to change that. So that's the way it is. Wait for the first 3 months. We treat the women, in fact, as being still subject to Hilchos Vestas. But Moshe writes that even his kula, that he thinks Mikra, then you can be Megal, that's only if she really, really, truly knows that she's pregnant. So here, Moshe's writing the Tshuva 50, 60 years ago. So he writes, but meant from a woman that she knows that she's pregnant, so if she went to the doctor, he says, and the doctor did a blood test, and they proved her that she's pregnant, that's Kope. She thinks she's pregnant, she suspects she's pregnant. I think he may even talk about the possibility of a home test. I'm not even sure it even existed in those days. He writes that until she goes to the doctor and he has a blood test and tells her for sure that she's pregnant, so she has to assume that she's not yet pregnant. So the lady first comes in, this man is there. The same test the doctor does, and the same urine test the doctor does, she could do from the pharmacy also. So she herself knows that she's pregnant. So again, Ikar Din, once a woman knows for certain that she's pregnant medically, Hilchos Vestas fall by the wayside. Nevertheless, the Olam is Noi. We try to, if Ramesh himself was the maker, he himself recommended to be Machmer, so we try to follow this as well. Nevertheless, for us, it's almost irrelevant, this whole discussion, because most women today don't have a Vestas Kavua. They have a Vestas She'enu Kavua. The only women who have a Vestas Kavua are the women who are on birth control pills. She finally compared against that. So from 99% of the time, the women who we already said Vesta Shenu Kavua get knocked off with one shot. Once 1 month passes and she didn't experience that bleeding again, then it's over, then you don't have to worry about it. So usually what happens is as follows. Let's say a woman has her Vesta Shenu Kavua from last month. So she wrote down in Chodesh Adar that she had a period on Gimel Adar. And she wrote down that she had a haflaga of 32 days. So she got everything written down, and she's waiting for this to repeat itself this coming month. It's coming month. She doesn't even know she's pregnant yet. Most women don't find out they're pregnant until they pass the Vestas. Most women are not, unless the woman is so nervous that she runs to take a pregnancy test every month. Most women, not even Olal Adas, to take a pregnancy test. When you pass the day that you should have gotten your period, then she starts to get suspicious, then she runs to take a pregnancy test. So here, she, it was Gimel Adar, and now Gimel Nisan, and she happens to be pregnant. She doesn't know it's true yet. So comes Gimel Nisan, so she separates from her husband, Gimel Nisan. Then it comes day 32, she separates from her husband again. And she separated the unavailable. So she did all the Vestas already, most probably not knowing that she's pregnant. Now all of a sudden, by Yud Nisan, she realized, wait a second, I was my period last week. What happened? She goes to the store, go to Walgreens, get my pregnancy test. And lo and behold, the good news, she finds out that she's pregnant. So great, but she already did all the Vestas. The Vestas are over already. So now next month comes, 3 weeks from now comes, so she remembers hearing, she heard about Ramosha's Tshuva, that you should try to keep the Vestas for the first 3 months. What Vestas for the first 3 months? They're over already. They were passed last month. What, on a basis of what? It's 60 days already since our last period. What else is she expecting? The Haflaga is over already. There is no Haflaga. She already canceled Haflaga. The Yom HaChodesh was already canceled. So basically, for all practical purposes, all Vestas were canceled already. So even though Ramosha and Rabbi Kivager are theoretically right, maybe we should observe Vestas for the first 3 months, but they don't exist because we only have Vestas Shedek Kavua. The only time you would have Vestas during early pregnancy is Vestas Kavua. Let's say a woman without pills, she mamish sees every Rosh Chodesh. For the last 10 months, she's been seeing every, last 3 months, she's been seeing every Rosh Chodesh. So now one Rosh Chodesh came and went, and then a week later she realized that she's pregnant. So the second Rosh Chodesh she should be Machmer. The second Rosh Chodesh should be Poresh, because according to the view of the poskim that we try to follow, that for the first 3 months we don't give her the kulos of pregnancy, so she's technically halachically not pregnant yet, and then the following month she would also have to be machmer, and then after those 3 months it would be over again. It's almost not relevant to Zman Hazeh, because again, the women don't have Vesas Kavua, the Rov Vesas Shena Kavua, so the first month she probably didn't know she was pregnant altogether, but the second month she already can't slip by the first month. So it's a lot of a lot of lumdas, but Tachas Lamais, and most women that are pregnant, once she's ascertained by pregnancy test that she's pregnant, so Rubber the time, Vestas fall by the wayside. What about in terms of nursing? So the Gemara says that nursing women generally don't see, so therefore, even if the woman gets a fluke and she sees, so we wouldn't have to take all of those Vestas into consideration. The problem is that there's not as ever possible, that's not true. Women are not as Basilof as Badam as they used to be. In the days of Chazal, the Chazal described that a woman would go 2 years without getting a period. That's almost unheard of as man as that. Most women today, depending on how much they nurse, if they don't nurse, if they supplement it with bottles, then for sure they're going to get the period. Even if they don't, even women who nurse mamash all around the clock, like 10 months, 12 months, most of them, sometimes you get a little longer than that. Most women do not go that long without getting a period, even when they're nursing. So the post came right. Once she starts to get a period, so then it's over. And obviously her body is no longer as left as bedamim. So then once she starts to get a period, then she's not entitled to the kula of the nursing women anymore. If I care, the post can point out, the women who nurse have to be almost more careful about a chusnida because the fact that women's time tend to spot sometimes, especially as they're starting to, hold back a little bit, they're starting to, back off from the nursing a little bit, that's when they start to spot, they start to get their periods already, so women have to be extra careful. So if a woman is at that point, if she knows her body, she knows the first 6 months she's nursing around the clock, she never forgets it for a month, she doesn't have to be so nervous. But if she's already been nursing for a while, and now she's already starting to wean the baby off a little bit, she's already giving formula, so then she has to be more careful. Because those are the times when she starts to bleed in the middle of nowhere, so some folks can say, she should check. I tell women, when they're at that stage of when nursing is coming to an end, so then they should try to look at themselves before they have tashmish to make sure there's nothing going on that they missed. So, I'm not requiring a real bedika, but they should be careful at that point. That's what they quote from Vosna, that he says that most of the rose da machlus tashmish that we have is manazel, this period, that this window of time when the woman is already ending off nursing, and lo and behold, she'll get a period in the middle of nowhere. And that could sometimes be complicated if it comes out at the time of Tashmish. So, again, Chacham Eina Barosha, you should try to be careful to make sure those kinds of things don't happen to the best of your ability. Okay, so now we move on to the next major, major topic. That's on page 34. And that's the din of Tevila. So we've thought to say, we can see him in the Nidapal. We're on to the second half, but it's the last part, really. One of the last parts of the Chazid, and that's Tevila B'mikvah. So the woman, we already figured out, she already counted her Shibnikiyam, and she's ready to go and everything. She's about to be Tevila B'mikvah. So we have to ask ourselves a very, very startling question. No one should be taken aback by the question. What's the source that the woman has to go to the mikvah? If he states in the Chumash that a woman, when she's in need, has to go to the mikvah, the answer is, there's no question, absolutely no shayla, no question whatsoever. If she doesn't go to the mikvah, she's chayav iskaris, no shayla about it. But where exactly does it say that a woman who is in need has to go to the mikvah? So if you look carefully at the psukim in Sefer Vayikra, the Torah speaks about a lot of different people who are tamei, who v'rachatzuba mayim, v'tamod arev, v'rachatz b'sar v'mayim, v'rachatz v'mayim. The Torah doesn't mix words about different people who are tamei who have to go to the mikvah. But strangely enough, it doesn't say about it either. It says a woman shivas yamim tia b'didasa, she's tamei for 7 days. Or it says about a zava v'sofal shivas yamim yachad tutar. It speaks about either 7 days of nida or 7 days shivin akim of zava, and then it says, and then she becomes tahora. But it doesn't say what she has to do to become tahora. So how do you know the missing link? How do you know that missing piece that she has to go to the mikvah? Again, it's not a shayla ma'isa. Mishnah is saying about 1,000 times, and then Klal Yisrael has been going, women have gone to the mikvah for Dari Daris, we always know that. But if you would be a karot, you would be a tzduk, and have courage, you'd be the chumash, you would almost walk away with the conclusion that shivas yom tiyavi dasavu. She got a period. She waits 7 days. 7 days are up. Then she goes back to her husband. Each day she has to go to the mikvah. So in the page 34 on the first in the Ramakamas, so Tosfos already makes this observation that tefilas nida l'kasav pravehedya. It doesn't say black on white. The very in the Torah Shemuksav itself. What? How did Chazal know it? It's obviously a dua beforesome that that's such a din. Where did it come from? So Pirush Rabbi Yehudai Gaon. The Tosfos quotes from Rabbi Yehudai Gaon, who may be the author of the Baal Lachos Gedolos. It's Machlokes Mishanim. The Sefer Baal Lachos Gedolos was put out in the days of the Gaonim. well before generations, centuries before Rashi. Tatsis. Rashi does quote all the time. All the Rishonim quoted it as the most authoritative sefer, one of the most authoritative sefer from the days of the Gaonim. But strangely enough, we're not sure who wrote it. It was either written by Rabbi Yehuda Gaon, or it was written by Shimon or something. It's a different person from the period of the Gaonim. There's two different traditions who wrote it. Tosis quotes from Rabbi Yehuda Gaon. Rabbi Yehuda Gaon was blind, so it was written by his Tamidim. His Tamidim were writing up his notes from his Shiurim and his Piskei Halacha. So that's the way many assume that was the source for the Sefer of Halacha's Gedolos. So the Pirush of Yehuda Gaon, the Naftlan b'kavachoymen b'magoa t'ton tefillah v'koshkeini atzma. So Yehuda Gaon says, it's almost explicit in the Chumash. The Chumash Rebashis Mitzorah says that a woman is in Nida, she's Tameya. And if she touches something, it becomes Tameh. And it says in the Chumash, what she touches has to go to the mikvah. It says, Asher Yigav Mishkavav, it speaks about all things about Kli Asher Shevzalav, V'tameh Adarav, V'rach, it's making up the Pasuk, V'bob Amayim Adarav, or something like that. The Torah says time and time again that things that touch a need have to go to the mikvah. So Rabbi Yehuda Gaon says that would be rather absurd to say the Kli that she sits on, that goes to the mikvah. She herself, 7 days up, she becomes Tahor. It's impossible. It's not shy to say such a thing. So it's Mamash Kavachom. It's part of the parasha of Tumas Magen Nida, Kavachom the Nida. Rabbi Natam Mefarish, Rabbi Natam is a different one. Rabbi Natam says, the Nafkulam Halda Shinan Beved Zorah, coming from the Fiyom in a couple of days, Ach Meni Dais Chata, Mayim Shanida Tavel Spem, Vakam Hem Hem Sa. Megumara, in the end of Masechas Beved Zorah, raises the question, what's the source for Tfilas Kalim? The Mishnah in the end, the last Mishnah of Beved Zorah, talks about the mitzvah, when you buy Kalim from a non-Jew, it's either if you made the Kalim or own the Kalim, you have to do Tfilas Kalim. So the Gemara says, Menon, you have to do Tfilas Kalim. So one of the sources that the Gemara quotes is the pasuk Ach b'mei nidah yischata. So what does it mean mei nidah yischata? It's talking about when they got the kalim from Chemes Midjan, they conquered the Midjanim. So they got all these pots and pans and silverware. So the Torah says Chol devar she'evova eish avivay shetaher. You have to kasha them, you have to put them into hagav and libun, and then it says Ach b'mei nidah yischata. Then they have to become sprinkled with mei nidah. What does it mean Ach b'mei nidah? A modest phrase. What does mei nidah yischata mean? So the pashup shot means that you have to sprinkle the Efer Parduma on it. That's called the Mei Nida. So the Torah of Ephes says that Mei Nida refers to Mayim Shanida Tavel Spam. That's one of the sources for Tefillas Kalim. In addition to Kashrut the Kalim, you have to put the Kalim into a place where a Nida would go to. So the Torah is referring to a mikvah called Mei Nida. That's the term that the Torah uses to describe the waters of a mikvah called the Mei Nida, Mayim Shanida Tavel Spam. Says Rabbi Natan. If the Torah is describing in the parasha Tefillas Kalim, the colloquial phrase for a mikvah is mei nida, so obviously the woman who's a nida is using those water. It would be a pretty silly way of describing a mikvah if nidas didn't use the water. So from the mere fact that the Torah describes the mayim of a mikvah as a mei nida, that's a source that a woman goes to the mikvah after she becomes a nida. That was Rabbeinu Tam's raya. So Rabbeinu Tam's raya is a very, very shaky raya, because there are many Rishonim who say that drush is only an asmachta. It's a big machlokes of Rishonim whether Tefillas Kalim is even deraisa or not. So if you hold that Tefillas Kalim is not even deraisa, that the pasuk is talking about that Efer Paraduma, it's not even talking about Nida, it's talking about Nida Lashon Hazar, then obviously that pasuk wouldn't serve as a source for anything. So Rabbeinu Tam is clearly siding with the view that Tefillas Kalim is deraisa. So far, we know that it didn't exist, that women have to go to the mikvah, and never a question. We're just trying to figure out where it came from. Rabbeinu Yitzhak Pivesh, then Tosfos continues that the Re said the Nafka Mehad Hashinah Prek My Isha Tia Bidasa Tehei Bidas Achetav Kumayim. The Torah says about Anida Shivas Yomim Tia Bidasa. For 7 days she remains in her status of Nida. What does that mean? She remains Bin Nidasa. It should have said Shivas Yomim Tia Tzmeya. What does it mean Tia Bin Nidasa? So the Gemara quotes Machlekes Atzanoim. How to explain Chat that Pasuk? How to learn Taishan that Pasuk? Shivas Yom Tia Bin Nidasa. What is the extra meaning of Tia Benidasa? She remains as a need. They should have just said, she is Tameh, she was Yom Tia Tameh. So the Gemara quotes that in the earlier generations, the Kedem HaRishonim used to say that Tia Benidasa, that Nidasa is a Lashon Nidoi, a Lashon like staying away from. You should stay far away from. But the Pasuk is saying is that when the woman is a Nida, you should stay far away. You shouldn't do things that'll get you to come close. And the Kedem HaRishonim used to say that from here we derive that when the woman is in Nida, she should have put on makeup, she should get dressed up nicely, she should not only physically stay away from her husband, but she should actively do things just to keep a distance from her husband. She shouldn't put up any makeup, shouldn't make anything nice when she's in Nida. So the Gemara says that Rabbi Akiva disagreed with this Kenim HaRishonim. He disagreed with those generations before. He said, that's not what the Pasuk means. Rabbi Akiva says, it can't be that the Torah wants that the woman, she's an Ida, should be looking schleppy, she should be looking nasty, she should be looking not dressed up. Rabbi Akiva says, he says, it can't be the Torah would have said such a thing. Shlo Tiskano Baila. He said, the Torah is going to tell us that the woman has to look, make herself look ugly when she's an Ida. It can't be. So therefore, what does it mean, Tia B'Idasa? Rabbi Akiva says, there is no such thing. There's no such halacha. So what does it mean, Tia B'Idasa? Tibbi thus just means, don't think that she's only Tmei for 7 days. Kamash Balan, she remains Benidasa until she does something about it actively. And what is that? Goes to the mikvah. So Rabbi Akiva says, look at that pasuk, Tibbi Nidasa, Tehei Benidasa, Achetav B'mayim. So even though our period ended, she stopped with jasmine blood in 2 weeks, she's still Benidasa until she goes to the water. So without that pasuk, I would have maybe thought that 7 days are up and then she's okay. So the bottom line is that there are three different approaches in the Rishonim. What is the source? The mice and the woman goes to the mikvah. Rabbi Yehudah Gaon learned that from Kavach Chaymer, and the Ri said it's learned that from the Sugyan in Rabbi Akiva, and Rabbi Etam says Meridai Tzata. And the Rambam writes a different thing. The Rambam is the second of the Marmakomas. So the Rambam writes in Hilchos Yisroel Bia Pergadah Lach Gimel. When do we say Shatumat Libiyamim? When do we say that once the days are passed, either the 7 days of Nida or the 7 days in the Kiyam Pizava, when do we say she becomes Tahora? It's understood, says Ram, of course she went to the mikvah afterwards. Aval Nida Vizava Violet, that's any one of the three, they have the same levels of Tuma, if the Nida Vizava woman gave birth, Shalo Tovlo Bibe Mikvah, if they didn't go to the mikvah, Habal Achas Miyamafilo Achakamashonim, she has that appeared in 20 years from now. It doesn't matter. Chayev Kares, but it's still Chayev Kares. Shabi Yamim Utvila Tala HaKosov. Says the Rambam, there's no question about it, that you have to pass the days of either Shabbos Yom or Shabbos Yom Kiyam. And then, of course, no question about it, you have to have Tvila. How do you know, says the Rambam? Shenemar Beracha Tzu B'mayim. The problem with that pasuk is I'm talking about Nida. Says the Rambam, Zebinyan Av L'chol Tamei Shubutumasu Achi Yidbo. Says the Rambam, the Torah is talking about all Tmeyim. The Torah doesn't have to delineate every single Adam Tamei. The person who touches the sheretz is Tamei until he goes to the mikveh, and the person who's about carry until he goes to the mikveh, and the person who's a Zav. Until you go to the mikveh, you are Tamei. That's what Barach Tzav Amayim B'Tam Adar means. That, of course, for Chitz Amayim. So the Torah doesn't spell it out every single case. It's understood. That's what's called the Binyan Av. So at the end of the day, we have four different sources in the Rishonim for the same din. Nobody questions this. It's a Hei Gufei Torah that the woman has to go to the mikveh to become Tahora. But it's, in terms of love, this is interesting that the Rishonim was searching around to try to find Vishtek. Where does it say this in the Torah Shabbat Sav itself? And the answer doesn't say Mamish black and white. There's some kind of a drasha, Kavachem, Rabbi Yinav, something that teaches us this din. But again, no question about it. This is part of Amasura, Bakish, Vish, and Meshur Avenu. And of course, the person has to go to the mikveh in order to become a Tahor. Rabbi Chorav Wasserman raises the question about all the sources that the Rishonim give. They all address the fact that the woman becomes Tahora. So in order to become Tahora, you have to go to the mikvah. But we're not talking about the woman becoming Tahora. We're talking about the woman becoming Muteres. Is that the same question, or is that a different question? Could one argue that maybe a woman can be Tmeya and Muteres, and Tahora and Asura? So we spoke about that a little bit in the past. What is the relationship between Hilchos Nida Labayla and Hilchos Nida Petaras? So Rabbi Chanan says, from the Stimus, all the Rishon, all the Makaras that the Rishon have given, these are all two of the Tara Makaras. Where's the Makar that you needed Tefillah for Baila? Says Rabbi Chanan, of course you need Tefillah for Baila. The only way you can become Uteras Labailech is if you become Tahora. So the Shaila Hilchos Nida is really two of the Tara Shaila. Once we pass it up, she's Tahora, Memela she becomes Uteras. If we pass it, she's Tamega, she's going to live, then she's Asura. So that's an open question. That's a very longish, loaded question. Is that connection necessarily true according to everybody? But again, when all the dust out, this is a very academic, longish discussion. There's no shaila whatsoever. That is the din, the Mishnayis, and Mishnayis, and Gemaras, and all the Sechaz Nida, and all the Shulchan Aruch, and the Minhag Yisrael for over 3,000 years. So we all know that in order for a woman to become a terrorist to her husband, she has to do the days, whatever those days are, and then, of course, go to the mikvah. So the starting point is you need tefillah of the mitzvah Yom Yeftiyantif. So we'll continue with the details as to this mitzvah tefillah. Etc. So the next week obviously there's no Shia, and the following week is the day after Pesach. I think we'll take a break from Yisro Chag at 7:15 in the morning. We'll give one a chance to clean up, and hopefully, Mitzvah Shem after that, we'll.